Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science, my weekly podcast. Now, this week is exactly in my wheelhouse, as they say, I must admit. But this one is exactly because I work on this in my own lab. Many of us do work on this. Now, it's the Nobel Prize for Medicine this year. It's the science of the regulation of the immune system. Because the Nobel Prize this year has been given to three scientists who discovered a key regulatory process that suppresses your immune system from attacking your own tissues. And they're called regulatory T cells, is the technical name for them. And it's a really wonderful discovery. And I know some of the scientists involved. It was a big discovery that was made 30 years ago. And it's a key part of any work of an immunologist, because it turns out the immune system has various brakes to stop it going out of control. And this is a master brake that stops the immune system from going ballistic, shall we say. Now, who are the scientists that won it? Well, it's two Americans, Mary Brunko and Fred Ramsdell, and a Japanese scientist called Shimon Sakaguchi. Now, I know Shimon. I've met him actually about a month ago. He must be delighted with himself winning the Nobel Prize, but he really gets the huge credit for this. And I must admit, I'd never heard of Brunko or Ramsdell. It's a strange one. Their paper on this came out in 2001, and it was a key paper, as I'll explain, but they didn't really continue in the field too much. Whereas Shimon, he kept going. It's his area, these regulatory T cells, and he would be at conferences talking about his latest developments and all sorts of things. So we know Shimon very well. Strangely, we don't know Mary and Fred, and it's interesting. I'll tell you in a few minutes, when they heard they won it, they were very surprised, you see. So it's very strange. Now, remember, what this is about is, it's simple enough at one level. Your immune system is very, very powerful. It's got tremendous weapons to fire at bacteria and viruses and all sorts. How do you stop it attacking your own tissues? And we know it attacks our own tissues. And when it does that, it causes what are called autoimmune diseases. Auto is the Greek for self. So these are attacking your own self, gets attacked by the immune system. And that's been known about for, scientifically, at least 100 years. So the big question was, why do some people develop autoimmune diseases, others don't? Shimon comes along in the 90s and he discovers a key cell type that suppresses that autoimmune process. And he calls them regulatory T cells because they regulate the immune system. I think a very good analogy, which I came up with recently for this, is as follows. Imagine your immune system like an army. It's fighting the enemy. Sometimes that army goes rogue and begins to attack your own tissues. These are the military police. They go in there and they arrest your own troops to stop them attacking your own tissues. And that's not a bad analogy, because we see loads of regulatory T cells everywhere all the time, suppressing things and controlling things, you know. So they do seem to be the military police that keep the troops in check and make sure they don't attack your own tissues. Now, Shimon, he is the first to describe the cell type. And he was working on the immune system in the 90s. He discovers a type of T cell which he says can suppress things. He purified them. He characterized them. What he noticed was if he depleted them from mice, and there was a way to remove them from mice, they've got a special marker on their surface. It's the IL-2 receptor, to be technical. You can target that and now turn them off, right? He noticed the mice got autoimmune disease. He saw they had very bad autoimmune attack in their thyroid and their stomach in these mice. And that was the first hint there was something going on here. And he began describing them. He began characterizing them in various ways. He also showed a nice experiment in the 90s. If you inject them into mice, you can suppress the immune response. Again, that was evidence that they turn things off. And again, great science here, really sort of systematic science that Shimon was doing there. And he published his first paper on these in the Journal of Immunology, which is not necessarily the most prominent journal, interestingly, but that's where it goes back to. And that paper comes out, and then he does more and more work on them. Many labs see it and begin to work on it again, developing his ideas. 6 years later, in 2001, Brunkoff and Ramsdell, they discovered the key switch that turns them on. And that was an important discovery, because now we had the cell type, and now we had the molecular switch that gets flipped to turn them into the military police, as it were, to suppress things. And the name of that switch is FOXP3. Strange name, very familiar to any immunologist, would have heard of FOXP3. It's very famous in my business. That is the key master switch that turns on these regulatory T cells. Now, what they did was they found the gene they characterized it, you know. They knocked it out of mice, so you get rid of it. And what happens there? Massive autoimmunity. That was the evidence. It was the switch. They could show there were no regulatory T cells if you're lacking this thing. And a really fascinating discovery they knew about, and in particular, Ramsdale knew about this. There's a very rare disease called IPEX, I-P-E-X. That stands for immune dysregulation, polyendocrinopathy, X-linked. That's where the X comes from, IPEX. And that's a severe autoimmune disease. And they discover that that's FOXP3 is mutated in people with that disease. It's broken. If you don't have FOXP3, you get ravaged by autoimmune situations. Their bodies are racked, these people, right? They die very young because of this, right? And every organ in the body becomes inflamed, particularly things like the thyroid, the gut gets hugely attacked by the immune system if you're lacking IPEX. Because remember, IPEX is the switch that turns them on. If you have no IPEX, you can't turn on the Tregs, regulatory T cells, and now the immune system runs rampant and attacks your own tissues. And of course, that was a really interesting discovery. And then it links up with Shimon, and they have the switch and they have the cell type. So what the Nobel Prize has been given for then is Shimon discovering the cell type in the body, regulatory T cells. And then we have Ramsdale and Brunkow finding the on switch for those T cells. Now, remember, that was in 2001 is when that molecular paper came out. And you might wonder, why is it taking so long to win the Nobel Prize? Well, as ever in science, other people have to repeat your work. I'm only happy when some lab in Japan or America or wherever repeats the work we've done in Dublin, because that means it's correct. Now, why would it be wrong? Sometimes there can be artifacts. The way you're handling the mice in your particular facility might be different. There's reasons why things don't necessarily fully stack up, but mercifully, most of my discoveries have been repeated elsewhere. But many labs jump on this. Loads of labs work on these regulatory T cells. Anybody interested in Crohn's disease, type 1 diabetes, MS, all those autoimmune diseases, you can imagine they're specialists. They all begin working on regulatory T cells. They find them. They show they're essential to suppress the autoimmune reaction. And this massive literature builds up over the course of, 10, 15 years, confirming FOXP3, confirming the discovery of Sakaguchi. And then we get this huge body of evidence that says these are really, really important. And the Nobel Committee would be well aware of that and would have been looking at it. But strangely, this wasn't predicted. This is the peculiar thing. Every year, we're waiting to see who wins the Nobel Prize, and you'll see predictions. In fact, The Economist magazine made 5 predictions. You know what was predicted? GLP-1, Ozempic, that whole area, that was predicted to win a Nobel Prize because obviously people benefit from drugs like Ozempic and obesity. That was the number one prediction. This wasn't on the top 5, so they got it slightly wrong. It had kind of been, I wouldn't say forgotten about, but it was sort of sidelined by other things, you know, so people kind of took their eye off the ball slightly. I'll come back to the end as to why we think it did take time. It wasn't just the bulk of information coming up. It's to do with the clinical relevance, which I'll mention towards the end. Now, the other thing I want to tell you is I love hearing when people hear they've won the Nobel Prize. That's got to be a day, hasn't it? Not that I've ever experienced it, but still. Ramsdale, right, was hiking in Wyoming with his wife. He'd gone off grid, turned off his phone, can you believe it, for a digital detox.
Well, my wife and I were camping high up in the mountain group, Wyoming, near Yellowstone National Park. And we got snowed on and go completely off there. There's no service up there or anything. So my phone is on airplane mode.
And they're trying to reach him. Finally, his wife turns on her phone. 200 messages pop up saying, well done, your husband's won the Nobel Prize. And she says to him, you've won the Nobel Prize. He said, no, I haven't. She says, over 200 messages say you have. So he was quite surprised.
And we got out, which wasn't necessarily obvious, but we got out and drove to Yellowstone National Park, saw bison and antelope and moose and and then eventually drove through a small town. My wife's phone, which was not in airplane mode, blew up, I was out walking the dogs and she started yelling and I thought there was a grizzly bear nearby. Turns out it was not a grizzly bear, and she said, you won the Nobel Prize. And I said, I did not. And she said, you did. I have 200 text messages that said you won the Nobel Prize. Like, okay, apparently I won the Nobel Prize. So then we had to drive another hour to get to where I could get cell service and Wi-Fi. And so I checked into a hotel in a small little town in southern Montana. And I got online and started making phone calls. And it's been pretty amazing for the last 24 hours or 18 hours now at this point.
In the case of Brunkov, she was woken up on the morning with her dog barking loudly, and the dog was barking at a photographer who turned up outside her house to take her photograph because she'd won the Nobel Prize. So she heard she won it from a photographer.
It's an honor to have been a part of that initial work and how that discovery could have helped, but otherwise I don't know what else to say at this point. It's still, you know, I'm sure it hasn't quite hit me yet.
And again, she's a very interesting woman. I'd never heard of her. She was the first author on the paper in 2001 that was in a journal called Nature Genetics. And then she didn't really work on this much. So she's surprised. The paper she published, 24 years ago has won the Nobel Prize. So she's thought, just full credit, because she found the damn thing. Her and Ramsdale found the FoxP3. So it's a very worthy one. And she says, even though he's the boss, they were great working together. And he had a lot of input into it. So there's no resentment of him winning it as well as her, shall we say, right? Sakaguchi himself there was a press conference. He said, very surprised, he said. And he was surprised because he said that he was waiting to see what it impact on diseases. Would you get drugs out of this, basically? And he was waiting for that. And that hasn't happened yet, although I'll come back to what's going on there in a minute. But he was quite surprised. He said he thought he might win it if there was clinical impact. I used to think some sort of reward might be forthcoming if we see some beneficial effect in a clinical setting, he said. The Prime Minister interrupted him at the press conference and asked about cancer. And he said, I believe a time will come when we no longer have cancer as a scary disease. Now, that's important because the clinical relevance of this is obvious. If you can boost these cells, you might suppress autoimmune disease, get them going, right? And secondly, if you turn them off, you might boost the immune system to attack tumours. And both things are happening. There are 200 clinical trials running at the moment in humans involving regulatory T cells, either to boost them, to suppress autoimmune disease, or to turn them off to boost anti-cancer immunity, right? My own lab has a project on FoxP3. We're trying to deliver FoxP3 into the body, into T cells, get them to turn into regulatory T cells. We're using the RNA technology actually that was used in the vaccines. We're using these lipid nanoparticles to try and boost them. Because you can imagine if you can inject FoxP3 into someone, that might kick them off. You know, the switch will go on then and flip the switch, and now the regulatory T cells come out and they really suppress things. And we're trying to do it. Now, many, many labs work on these, not just us, because we know they're so important. So again, lots of trials are running, lots of optimism. The types of diseases would be multiple sclerosis, Crohn's, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis. They're all autoimmune. So again, people are testing this now, and there are these trials running in humans, 200 trials. You have to be hopeful that one of them is going to work, wouldn't you? Either for autoimmune disease or for cancer would be the dream here. But it isn't there yet, and that's why people thought that the Nobel Committee might wait until there is clinical impact, but still a lot of optimism around that these should begin to work. And even if it doesn't quite make it, it's a fantastic discovery for science. And remember, it is a Nobel Prize to do with science. Very strong science here, discovering a new cell type in the immune system that suppresses your body attacking itself. Really exciting discovery. And the hope being, of course, that this will ultimately benefit patients as well. Who would have thought a discovery 30 years ago? And a huge amount of effort, huge amount of work has now finally yielded a Nobel Prize for our dear friends, Sakaguchi, of course, Ramsdale and Brunkow. So it's a very worthy Nobel Prize. We keep our fingers crossed that this will translate into treatments for disease that are badly needed in humans. So we'll keep a close eye on this. Lastly, I'll tell you, the Nobel Prize galvanizes the field. And us immunologists love this because it puts the focus on our field and it'll inspire more investment, hopefully. Because obviously running clinical trials is expensive. So we think that this will give a big fillip, is the word you might use, to the whole business of regulatory T cells and their use in disease. So we love it, the fact that this prize has been won. So there you have it, the science of regulating the immune system and this year's Nobel Prize. Thanks, as ever, for listening. And my podcast is a News Talk production, available every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.